Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf. Baba Metzia Samach Zayin. We got up to the 11th line off the top of the Amid. We begin with a story. Ahi Itisa, there was a story of this woman, the Amralei. She instructs this fellow, Lahu Gavra, Zil Zavanli Ara Mikrivai. Can you please purchase for me a piece of property from my relative? Ozal, the fellow went along, Zavanla, and he purchased the property on her behalf. Omar Le, so the seller tells the agent, Ihambuli Zuzi Mahadras Lonyali. You know what? I want to stipulate the following condition. If I get around to having some funds down the road, I want her to return the field to me. Okay? Are you accepting that condition? Amar Le, so the fellow says, look, I'm not getting involved. At you, Benavla, and her, you know, the woman that sent me, according to Second Pshat and Rashi, Navla was her name. So you and her, you're Achi, you are relatives, cousins, whatever. Deal with her directly. Take care of it. Basically, I'm not getting involved. So he was sort of, like going along with it. Amar Rabba Barav Hunam. He says like this. Does the condition stick or not? Right? Is there is the sale dependent upon this clause? Is it a legal condition? Kol at v'nav la'achei. Yeah, when a fellow responds in this manner, she'll strain it out with you. Amar v'samchadaitei. It's said, and it's something that he relies upon. V'loy gomar umakni, and the fellow is not willing to actually, give it away unequivocally. Basically, he is relying on this to come to fruition. So basically, he's selling it on this condition. So now, Ara, if he comes up with his money down the road, Hadra, he gets back the field. Peiri mai, what about the peiros, the produce that she had all along? Does that go back to the seller or not? Why yes and why no? Oh, ribis ketsusa havu v'yoytim b'dayanim. Do we consider it as defined ribis? Ribis ketsusa? Ribis d'oraisa, because after all, it turns out to be not much of a sale here if he's expecting it back as soon as he gets his money. Gets access to money, so it's not much of a sale. So essentially, the money that was paid out is almost like a loan, right? The money that the Isha gave to this landowner is almost like a loan. It's treated like a halva, and any pairs that she had all this time until he got around, until he got access to more funds to redeem his property. Until that point, what she's taking is like ribis. It's a fee for him using her money. So that's one side of the coin. That's one side, one way to look at it. It's ribis ketsusa havu. It's absolute ribis. And you can actually compel her to repay this. As per the halacha we paskin the other day, that ribis d'oraisa can be extracted through the court, through the dayan. Or no. Ki avak ribis havu, it isn't considered ribis ketsutza. It's just a dust of ribis, meaning it relates to ribis. It's just another way of referring to ribis de rabbonon. Because we'll see in a minute why it's not regarded as true ribis, and as a result, we say ve'ein yoytzin b'dayan, and you can't dayan cannot force him to repay it, or in this case, her, right? Her to repay it. So which way? Amar Rabba Bar Afuna mistavra. I think ki avak ribis haba. We treat it like avak ribis, merely like ribis derabbanan. Ve'ein yoytzin b'dayan, and cannot be forced to pay back. V'chein amar Rabba ki avak ribis haba ve'ein yoytzin b'dayan, and likewise Rabba concur to this point that it's only avak ribis and she will not be required to pay it back. And again, soon the Gemara will explain why, why in fact it's only Ribbis Rabban. Amar Le Abaye Le Rabba. Before we get to that point, comes Abaye and he's like this. Amar Le Abaye Le Rabba. Mashkanta Mai. What happens if somebody lends, an unrelated question, somebody lends money, and the person gives him a field as a mashkin? He didn't specify what to do with the payers in the meantime. The malva just took the field and started using it. He developed it, he invested in it, and he ate the payers. Shall we say that the payers that he had is ribis katsutza and can be forced out, or is it just avak ribis which need not be returned? Mashkanta mai, right? So the produce that he took off the collateral. What's the status of that? So let's compare it to the previous din, the case where the seller stipulated that he has the right to buy back the karka, and in that case, Rabbi Barfuna just told us that any pairs that the buyer ate in the interim is only avak ribis, and right. So let's compare the two cases. Mai, how some time am I mission blei kotzlei? Well, what's the reason why in the previous case, with that sort of pending sale, do we say it's only avak ribis? Is it because the loy kotzlei, because they didn't stipulate? At the time of sale, they did not stipulate that the Isha, who is the buyer, will have the payers as payment for money sort of being lent to the other fellow. There was no tzitza. It wasn't definitive. It wasn't specified. Hachanami lakatzli, here as well. Nobody clearly told the lender, right, in the case of the mashke, nobody clearly told the lender that he's going to take the payers as a fee, as payment, as a schar for the money being loaned. And therefore, it's not called ribis katsutza. Or you can say like this: hasam zvinya halva. In the previous story with the isha, with the cousin there, after all, it was a sale, right? The fellow got his money as officially as payment for the field that he was selling. It turns out later on that he's going to go rebuy the field, right? But it wasn't really meant as a loan. It was meant as a sale. So there we say that any benefit received on the side is not called ribis katsutza, but hocha halva, here, he's actually lending money and offering his field as a mashkin. So even though there was no, clear stipulation that you will be picking the fruit as ribis, but after all, that's what's happening. He's benefiting from a loan. So which way is it? Is it the lack of ketzitza, or in which case it would be mutter, or is the heter over there because it's part of a sale as opposed to this case? Amarle, he says, hasam time in my mission lekotzle, hachinami lekotzle. The point is ketzitza. Just as in that story with the isha, with the cousin, it was okay because it wasn't clearly stipulated as ribis payment, here as well, by the mashkin, its mutter, it's not called ribis katsutza because it wasn't, clearly stipulated as part of the arrangement. Amra papi, avad Ravina uvda. Actually, such a story came to Ravina, where a fellow sold a property on condition that he can buy it out, that he can rebuy it when money becomes available. And the buyer was benefiting from the produce from the field all along. So Ravina had a story like that. Avad Ravina uvda, and how did he proceed? V'chashiv, and he calculated, v'apik peri, and he forced the fellow to give back the peris. Deloy k'rabba bar Rafuna, unlike Rabba bar Rafuna, who says you don't have to. He held you have to do it, even though the fellow was sort of like moichel on it. It's a toast. He had no right to take it, and he deserves it back. Amar, mar breid Rav Yosef, mishmei de Rava. Ha mashkanta. So once again, the mashkanta entails a fellow committing his field as sort of a collateral, ought to be applied as partial payment for a loan that he's receiving. Now, there were basically two types of mashkantas. One was called Ba'astra Delay Misalki. So in this place, the common practice is not to be misalik. Misalik means that if the leiva, the borrower, comes up with money, he can buy back his field. He can sort of get rid of the malva, remove the malva off the premises. He can buy back the field. That's Ashra de Misalki. Ashra de Lay Misalki means that you can't, even if the leiva comes up with money, the leiva cannot chase the malva off the field during you know, let's say he borrowed $1 million for 10 years, right? So he has no right, and he gave him the field for 10 years as a mashkin. He has no right to chase him off the field. Even if he comes up with his money before the 10 years are up, the malva sits on that field until his period, until the term is up. Right? That's Astra Delay Masalki. And what happens after the 10 years are up? It goes back, the field goes back, the property goes back to the borrower. And interestingly, Rashi says there's no issue of ribis there, you know, because it looks like a sale. It's like he sold him the property for 10 years. And even if the fellow was benefiting and taking the produce, it's his. The malva owns this property for 10 years. After 10 years are up, so, you know, when the fellow comes and pays back the $1 million loan, so it's like he's rebuying his field. It's like he's buying that field. There's no element of ribis at all. So again, there were two types of mashkins, property mashkins. One is called mashkanta deloy mesalki. Astra, a place where they have this minig deloy mesalki. They do not give the loiva the right to take his field back during the prescribed period. So he borrowed $1 million for 10 years and he, Shimon offered his own field as a mashkin to Reuven. Reuven takes that field for 10 years and sits there until the 10 years are up, after which Shimon, you know, repays that loan and he gets back his field. It's like he sold it to him now and he's rebuying it in 10 years. Then there was a system called Asra de Misalki, a place where they have a minhag to be misalik, which basically means that if Shimon comes up with the money within that 10-year period, he has a right to buy back his field, to sort of remove the malva, to remove the lender, to remove, force Reuven off the field, and now the field comes back to him. Which is a bit more problematic, because now it doesn't appear like a sale. It looks clearly like a mashkin, like a collateral, meant sort of to secure that loan, right? So what right does Reuven have to eat the payers all along? It's like he's taking a fee. It's like getting paid for the money that he loaned to Shimon. Okay, so we'll see in a minute how this works. So he's quoting Rav as follows. Hamashkanta. So this property collateral, Ba'asra de Masalki, in a place where the common practice was to allow the leiva. So Shimon borrowed $1 million from Reuven. Shimon handed his field over to Reuven as a mashkin. And it's a place where they allow Shimon to be misalik Reuven off that field as soon as he gets a hold of funds. So now, Ba'asra de Masalki, Ochal Shir Zuzi. So let's say Reuven, by the time Shimon came up with the money, Reuven had already taken $1 million of produce off the ground. Right? Shir Zuzi, Misal Kinele. So at this point, we can force him off the property. Look, you got paid. You got paid out. You're done. You don't have a right to take more. That would constitute ribis, right? Achat fe. Here's the chiddush, but let's say he ate more. He ate 1.5 million of bananas off that field, which is half a million more than he deserves. We can't force him to repay it. You know why? Because it's avak ribis. This whole arrangement is not a clear-cut ribis. Nobody knows, it's unpredictable. Nobody knows how much he's going to make off the field, how much he's going to invest. I mean, you have good years, bad years, fruitful seasons, and you have storm seasons. I mean, you have all kinds of phenomena. So It's not an outright ribbis. It's not a predictable, it's not a clear-cut, defined, stipulated ribbis. At most, it's avak ribbis. Right? So, even if he took more than he deserved, we can't force him to return it. Because that's the halacha, that avak ribbis is ein yoytze b'dayan, you can't force him to repay it. And likewise, v'loy mechashvinon, we can't calculate it as a credit for another loan. Let's say Shimon has another loan with Reuven, mishtar l'shtar from one document to the other. So the extra $500,000, you can't apply it as credit to another loan, because again, you have no right to extract avak ribbis. Once he took it, he took it. But ubedi asmi, let's say instead of it being Shimon to Reuven, it was Yisoimim, youngsters, orphans, who are under the charge of Bezdin. They're the ones that borrow the money, and right, and they're the ones that handed the mashkin to Reuven. Ochal shir zuzi misal kinelei. So once again, once Reuven gets to the point of the $1 million mark of income off that field, we remove him off the field. Ochal tfeim of kinemene. Here's the chiddush. If he took more than he deserves, we will force him to repay it. Umachashvinan mishtel ushtam, we can apply the credit to another loan that the Yisraelim have towards Reuven. And the reason here is because Bezdin's authority reigns here. They're in charge of the Yisraelim. They look after them. And it's as though we treat it as though they have already removed Reuven off the field as soon as he hit that $1 million mark. It's like sort of an ongoing directive of the Bezdin. Take only as much as you deserve. So anything more than that is like stealing from the kids. Okay, Amar Rav Ashi. Now Rav Ashi takes issue with one point. Hasha de Amris Ochal Tfei. Now that you've told me that if Reuven, under ordinary circumstances, you have a Shimon and a Reuven, no, you're saying ordinary people, and Reuven took more than he deserves off the field, more than the total amount of that debt. We can't force him to repay it because it's avak ribbis. Here comes the punchline. Here comes the chiddush. Says Rav Ashi, guess what? On the same token, ochal shir zuzei nami loy masalkin alei b'loy zuzei. Just as if you take more than he deserves, more than the $1 million loan amount, you can't force him to repay it because it's only avak ribbis. Guess what? Even the actual million, he can just pocket and walk away. Loy masalkin alei. Now, even if he took the million worth of bananas, you can't force him off the field. We don't deem it as though he was repaid. But Lo Yizuzi without actually, can't force him off without actually repaying the loan, separate, on top of the $1 million that he reaped off the field. You know why, my timer? Because after all, the bananas that he took is avak ribbis. My timer is Siluki Lo Yizuzi, because if we'll force him to relinquish control of the field, but Lo Yizuzi without actually paying him out, giving him the $1 million payment right now. Apuki minei how? What? Right. Based on what are we forcing him off the field? Because of the bananas that he took? But that's avak ribbis. So, by forcing him to apply those bananas to the loan and calling it a day, right? Canceling the loan because of the bananas that he ate is basically, essentially, forcing him to pay for avak ribbis that he ate. Apuki minei. It's like you're taking it away from him, you're forcing him to repay that avak ribbis that he took. How avak ribbis? It's really only avak ribbis. Avak ribbis, eino yoytze b'dayan. You can't force a mava to repay for avak ribbis. So it's a gevaldi yichidush as Rav Ashi. Shimon borrowed $1 million from Reuven. He let Reuven have his field temporarily as a mashkin. Reuven reaped and reaped and reaped. Picked and harvested till he got to the $1 million mark. Says Rav Ashi, guess what? Too bad. You can't force him off the field until you actually now go and pay him $1 million, because essentially what he took is avak ribbis. It's gone. It's swallowed down. It's finished. He has no chiv to repay that. In fact, Ovad Rav Ashi Uvad B'Yisayim K'tan K'gdol. Rav Ashi in fact proceeded to apply his opinion, his ruling. He had a story regarding Yisayim K'tanim, where the Imalva ate from the karka, and he said, no, they can't get it back. Even if the fellow ate $1 million worth of bananas, doesn't matter. Yisayim K'tanim are treated just like G'dolim, regular adults. Fact is, it's avak ribbis. Even though Bezdin is sort of in charge, doesn't matter. The fact is the fellow took a Akribis, it's gone. Amar Rav, a brother of Yosef, Mishmed Rav. Hi Mashkant. Again, back to the Mashkant setup, right? Ba'ashra de Masak. We're in a place where the common practice is that the Leiva has a right to pay out the Malvin, force him off the land. So in this case, as we explained before, there's an appearance of ribbis. It relates to ribbis because it's not really a done deal. It's sort of, everything's pending, right? So Reuven's hold on that property is sort of like only a temporary hold, and by him taking the payers, it looks like ribbis as payment for the money that he lent. So the only way it's legal, the only way it's acceptable is b'nechiyasa, by deduction, Rashi explains. Basically, he should have an arrangement with the borrower as follows. Look, every year that I have your property, I'm going to deduct $1,000 off the loan. And as Rashi explains, although he could end up benefiting more than $1,000 off the field, but it's unpredictable. There are some good years, some bad years, and it's okay. Right? Because he's also taking a chance. He's also risking his investment. You never know, he might only make $100 off the field. So, again, as Rashi points out, if it's Asra Deloimus Salki, again, that means that for the next 10 years, Reuven sits on the field, unbothered by Shimon, right? Loimus Salki, you can't buy him out. You can't force him off until the term is done. In that case, there's no issue of ribis. Rashi says it's a mechira, looks like a mechira gemura. It's like it was sold outright to Reuven for 10 years. There's no issue of ribis. Whatever he takes is his, right? The whole issue begins because it's Asra de Mesalki. In this place, the minig is that the Leva will have the right to remove Reuven, the Malva, off the field whenever he's able to, you know, whatever he has the ability to do so, whenever he can access funds, and right? So in this case, it's not really a sale. Reuven is sitting there as a Malva, as a lender, in possession of a collateral. It's a temporary arrangement. So now whatever he takes, it's like a ribbis. Oh, how do we avoid that? B'nei chayisa. Deduction system. Deduct a set amount every year and apply it to the loan. But that's regarding an ordinary person. But the Talmud Chacham has to be more careful and set higher standards to avoid any appearance of impropriety. Afilu b'nei chayisa l'nechel. He should not even proceed with this deduction system. Because it still has, you know, it gives somewhat of an impression that he's eating ribbis. El manechel, and people might, you know, stretch that and apply it to real ribbis, right? El manechel. So the only way that a Talmud Chacham can proceed is b'kitzusa, which the Gemara will soon explain, which totally removes any impression of ribbis. Well, hanichel mandam b'kitzusa shari. That's good if you hold that kitzusa system is perfect. Elo lemanda omar kitzusa asirub. If you hold that kitzusa is also problematic, Michael Amemra, so what's the way to go, right? The itma, as we learned, kitzusa. What about this kitzusa arrangement? Which Tigmar will explain for us soon. We have machlekes pligibor avach ravina. There's machlekes between these two amiroim. Chad omar kitzusa sharia. One says it's mutter. Chad omar, the other one says kitzusa asirub. It's asir. So if you hold that it's asir, so which system can a Talmud Chacham employ? Now, before we get to that, hey chidam kitzusa, what exactly is this kitzusa arrangement? Shimon borrowed $1 million from Reuven, and he turns around and offers him a piece of property. The Amalei says like this. So Reuven now offers to Shimon as follows: Ad chamesh shnin, for the first 5 years, achil nala b'lay nechiyais. I'm going to remove the crops, enjoy the benefits without deduction at all. Once 5 years are up, I will take account, I will assess the true value of all the payers, and I will apply it to your loan. So it looks like a sharecropper. A couple of years I get it all myself, and the rest, right, is yours. So that removes any impression of ribbis. It's a fair arrangement, right, like a sharecropper. Getting a cut instead of a percentage of each year, We're making sort of a multi-year arrangement. A couple of years I get, a couple of years you get. That's one version of Kitsusa. And as we said, there's machlekes, whether this is mutter or asr. Rav Acha says, one says mutter, one says asr, right? Now we have another version. Ikadam, some say that kol b'loy nechiyaisa asr. Even this is certainly asr. Because he's not really deducting anything the first couple of years. So it appears like he's getting it, you know, as ribbis, as a fee for his money. Rather, what is considered the kitsusa, which is muta even for Talmud Chacham, the Amar Lei, he says like this: Ad chameishnin achil nabal nachiyase. The initial 5-year arrangement is as follows: I take the payers benachiyase. Whatever I get, I deduct from the loan. I apply it as a credit towards the loan. Bekan ve'elach, past 5 years, it's all yours, Mr. Loiva. So for the first 5 years, benechiyase, sorry, it's a set amount per year, right? Whatever they make up, $100 per year, I'm going to apply it towards the loan. As we said before, you know, both sides are taking a risk because the exact amount that he's going to take off the field is unpredictable. So that's okay for the first 5 years. And kanveilach, past 5 years, shayam lach kula peri, whatever I take off the field, all the peris, the exact amount will be assessed and applied towards the loan. So, since on the one hand, the first 5 years, he is deducting a set amount. On top of the fact that past 5 years, he's giving it all back to the loiva, so it doesn't look like it diminishes that ribbis impression. So again, what is kitsusa? We have two versions. Either, right, first 5 years, I take it all, past which you take it all, right? First 5 years, the malva takes it all. Past 5 years, the loiva keeps all the peris is applied towards the loan. And version two explains it differently. First 5 years, I deduct a certain amount, right? A certain, you know, preset amount is deducted from that loan every year. Past which, you know, after 5 years, we go ahead and we assess the exact amount of income, and that's applied towards the loan. And now, what is the status of kitsusa for a Talmud Chacham? So, machlokes, Rav Acha, Ravina, some say also, some say muter. Manda also become ma'isa. So the opinion that held that even kitsusa is a problematic arrangement for a Talmud Chacham because it still smells from ribbis. Now, if we hold that, if we define kitsusa as being the first of the two arrangements, you know, we had the two versions. If we go with the first version, shor b'bas reis. So even if you hold that kitsusa is asr, that's because it's the first version of kitsusa, which is closer to ribbis than not, and therefore it's asa. But shari bivas raisa. But even that opinion will agree that the second version of kitsusa, which was that I never get a free ride at all. First 5 years, the malva I deduct a set amount and apply it towards the loan, and past which it's all towards the loan. That's certainly mutter, because it's so removed from ribbis. It looks like a fair deal. Looks like it makes sense, right? There's not much, you know, issues here. Mandoma bevasreis. However, if you hold that the true definition of kitsusa is as per version 2, and still you hold that it's usr, well, if that's usr, then what? Give me another option of mashkanta that's mutter. How could a Talmud Chacham ever make a mashkanta arrangement? I mean, you've taken the most extreme case, which is the least problematic one, and you've forbade it. So, Eichi Shori Lemechal, how could a Talmud Chacham ever do the mashkanta arrangement? Says the Gemara, there's still one option left. Shori. Hey, Shori Lemechal. Shori, ki mashkanta de surah. Oh. He can employ the mashkanta de surah arrangement. So in surah, they did like this. The Kasvi Bahachi. So they would make a document as follows. Shimon borrows a million from Reuven, then hands him a field as a mashkin, and he writes like this. B'mishlam shnaya ilayin. As soon as these years are up, the 10-year term is up, teipuk aro double kesef. At that point, the aro, this property, leaves the possession of the malva and goes back to the loiva without a penny paid. Loans up, everything's gone. So now, it's okay for Reuven to have the peiros all throughout these 10 years because it doesn't even give the impression of a havo. It's almost no loan going on here. It's like Reuven purchased the field for 10 years. Whether he gains on the deal, loses on the deal, whether he gets a lot of bananas, a little, it's an outright sale. True, it started off as a loan. He lent Shimon a million, but now that Shimon responds by offering his field, which Reuven will have now for 10 years, after which it goes back to Shimon free of charge, loan canceled, it appears like Reuven really bought the field for those $1 million. And now whatever he has throughout that period, whether it's a lot or it's a little, fruitful years or unfruitful years, the deal is fair and square and there's no issue of rivers. Okay, bottom line, we discussed the sugya of mashkanta, where a fellow offers a field, offers property to a lender for the time being. There's mashkanta ba'asra deloy masalki, where the borrower has no right to go and redeem that field until the term is up, until due date shows up. At that point, he has a right to either have the lender keep the field, or he can buy it back. So it's like an outright sale. For the next 10 years, it's like an outright sale to Reuven, and Reuven can just take the payers at will. We have Asra de Masalki, where you could be Masalik. You have a right to remove him off the field anytime you come up with money. That runs you into a ribbis issue, being that Reuven is benefiting from that field all along, which is deemed like ribbis, a fee that he's getting paid for loaning money. So how do we get around that? So we discussed the idea of nechiyasa, a deduction system. We discussed a more robust deduction system, kitzusa, which is perhaps mut even for Talmud Chacham. And finally, we have a system which is certainly okay on all ends, which is called mashkanta d'sura. So basically, at the end of that 10-year period, the loan is considered all paid up, which allows us to treat this arrangement like just a bona fide sale without any ribbis issues. It says the Gemara, Papa, for Rav Huna Beit Rav Yeshua, Amr Tavai, they both concurred as follows. Hamashkanta basra de mesalkin. So if a fellow receives a mashkin, and it's a place where you could be mesalik him off that field, so it's not really considered his. It's sort of just a temporary hold on that field. So now let's say Reuven, who had this mashkin, passed away and passed it on to his kids. And Reuven happened to have his own Baal Chayv, his bank that was after him. So typically, a Baal Chayv cannot collect from Yisayim, from kids, due to their father's loan. Unless there's karka that was handed down from the father, he can tap into the estate of the father, because a father's estate is like an arev. It's like a guarantor for his own personal obligations, right? And when a person borrows, his property becomes liable, right? The bank can now access his property. There's sort of a lien on his properties. So when he was around, the lien is applied to his properties and to anything that he owns. Anything that he owns is sort of there to secure that loan. But once he passes on, Rashi explains, the person's metatlin are no longer bound to his loans because that's not really the item of the lien. People lend money, they're not expecting to use metatlin as a security for a loan. The mindset is rather that property will be used to secure and back up the loan. So when there's property around, so even if it gets handed to the kids, that property is still the subject of the bank's lien to the father, so he has a right to take that. Now let's say the father had a mashkin, ba'asra de masalki, in a place where it's not really deemed his, because at any time, any point in time, the loiva can come take it away. So it's not really considered his property, and when he passes away, ain bal chayiv goy b'emenu. The father's bal chayiv. Reuben's bal chayiv could not come take it from the kids because it was never really his. Ve'en ha'b'chor noitel ba'pishnayim, and likewise, Reuben's b'chor, firstborn, doesn't have a right to take a double portion. That only applies to something which was owned by the father, not something which was sort of, you know, temporarily given to his possession. U'shvi'is misham toso. Oh, and when Shemitah arrives, Shemitah typically, you know, cancels loans. In this case as well, even if a lender took a mashkin of this type, it's not considered, you know, the loan is not considered collected already. If it would be considered collected, like if you take a real mashkin, right? If you, actually says, if you take a metatlin, you take a car as a mashkin, so the lender sort of assumes partial, assumes ownership of that item. Rashi brings a Gemara that we learned that the malva is like a sort of an owner. He owns that item, so it's like the loan had been paid up already, and Shemitah can't cancel that. It's been paid up, but here it's not been paid up because the field that he has is only sort of temporarily here, the temporary hold on the field, and therefore Shvius can still deactivate that loan which had not been collected. That's because it's asher demisalki. Right? But if it's a place where uba asher de loim misalki, place where you cannot employ this type of system, you can't go ahead and extricate this piece of land from the malva until the, you know, term is up. So now it is considered like his. It's like he purchased the field for X amount of years, and therefore everything switches, everything turns, reverses. Bal chayiv goy v'menu. So the malva is bal chayiv. Can come collect from that property even after his passing. And his kid gets double portion. And Shmias does not affect his loan, which is deemed paid up. Right, in a place where they are misalik, the malva, as soon as the loiva gets his hands on money, so once the loiva comes around to repossess his field, he can force the malva off the field, even if the malva already picked the dates have already dropped off the tree and landed on the mats, right? The fellow places mats around the palm trees to allow the dates to, you know, plop down. So even those dates, the loiva will take because look, I want my field back with everything. V'yagbinu b'sisni kananhu, but if the malve had done hagbah, he lifted, he already put the dates into baskets, so kanoni, he made a kinyan, it's his, it's too late, it's no longer relating to the field. I mean, you can take the field back, but not something which I already picked and took home. Uleman the Omar, Kalev shall lekech, which was meicher. Now, according to the opinion that holds that when a buyer places something, has something in his kli, in his container, which is sitting in the property of the seller, right? We don't consider it still on the seller's domain. Rather, it's already in my domain, sitting in my container. So that's a kinyan. So kana lekech, the buyer can be kinyan in that fashion. So if that's the case, afilu deloy agbehinu besisne kanonu. So in this case, where the budya, these mats, belong to the malva, belong to the Reuven, right? So the dates that dropped into his kalim, into his containers, are deemed his, despite the fact that it's sitting on Shimon, you know, the real owner's field. It's kalev shaloikech, which is meicher, so that's tantamount to a kinyan, and it's a kinyan chatzar, it's like in his possession, because it's in his containers, and therefore Shimon, although he has right to take his field back, but not those dates. Says the Gemara, okay, we have two sort of systems, right? Asra de Masalki and Asra de Loi Masalki. Again, it means like this, that Shimon borrowed $1 million from Reuven, and Shimon handed his property to Reuven as a mashkin. Asra de Masalki means that anytime throughout the next 10 years, right, the term of the loan, anytime throughout that period, he has a right to regain possession of that field by paying out, by buying out Reuven. Ashrut Lei Masalki would require Shimon to wait patiently until his 10-year term is up, and then he has a right to pay out the loan and get his field back. So now, Pshita. In the following case, it's pretty clear what the halacha would be. Basar de Masalki, in a place where they are Masalik, Omar, the lender says, you know what, I would like to cancel your rights. I'm not willing to relinquish my rights over this field. I want to have it, I'm going to start working on it, developing it. I want to have it for, you know, set amount of years. Does that work? Yeah. Hoka Amad Lo Mistalikna. Okay, he said he's not leaving the field, and he's lending money to Shimon on that condition. And Rashi says it's like a kinyan, because he's like sort of paying money for this. It's a kinyan. Karka is nikna through kesef, right? So even though it's sort of like a temporary sale, it's only 10 years, but when he lays out that money to Shimon, he's doing it with this in mind, and that's a kinyan. That's it. It's done. It's binding. What about the other way around? Ela ba'ashra delay masalk. What if we're in a place where you can't be masalik the malva? So it's a done deal, right? Va'amar mistalikna. But the fellow says, you know what? I'm willing to relinquish my hold of this field as soon as you're able to come up with your money. So he's only sort of taking it in a very limited way. My, what's the halacha? He committed to do this verbally, right? It was a verbal commitment. Is that enough to grant Shimon rights to now remove Reuven off the field when he gets when he's able to? Tzorach l'mikna minei oiloi. Does Shimon have to make a kinyan from Reuven to commit himself to this or not? Rapapa amar loy tzorach l'mikna minei. You don't need to make a kinyan. Basically, Reuven acknowledged that he is he's limiting his hold on the field. I'm only taking it as long as you, right? Rav Sheshes Brei Darvida Amar, Tzorach L'mikra Mene, you need to make a kin, otherwise words are nothing. V'ilchasan Le'eloch is, and in fact, Tzorach L'mikra Mene. Amar, now, let's say we're in a place where you can be Masalik, which basically means that as soon as Shimon comes up with the money, Reuven has to leave the field, right? So now, at what point does Reuven have to vacate? Amar, let's say Shimon is coming in saying, look, Ezel Ba'isi Zuzi, I'm about to go and, you know, withdraw my money from the account. Please stop eating the, you know, he has a right to say it, lo yachol. Reuven has to stop right there because the money's available and his term ended. That's it. But let's say, Ezel va'atrach v'aisi zuzi. He doesn't have money in the bank. He says, look, I got some friends, I'm going to put it together for you. So, does Reuven have to take him seriously? Does he have to halt? Or can he just wait around till keep on eating until it happens? Ravina Amar Achl, he can continue eating. Umazrutra Breda of Mori Amar Loyachl, no, he can't. Vilcha Sadalach is Loyachl, he has to stop right there. Because the fellow is purporting to have money available. I mean, it's pretty close by. You just give me another couple, right? So, the Rishus that Reuven had in the field terminated. Rav Kahana, Rav Papa, Rav Ashi, Loi Achli ben Achiyaisa. So these three Amoraim never were willing to actually partake in this type of mashkanta arrangement, even ben Achiyaisa, even by way of this applying this deduction system to apply a certain set amount per year towards the loan. They didn't want to do that. On the other hand, Ravina Achli ben Achiyaisa, he would partake in a mashkanta ben Achiyaisa arrangement. My time, why? My time of the Mandach ben Achiyaisa. Why did Ravina allow himself to do this? You know what? Even, you see, what's the catch here? The point is that Reuven may end up gaining on the deal, but he may end up losing. Like we said, it's unpredictable. We don't know exactly how much he's going to make off the field. So, it's a fair system. Look, I'm going to deduct X amount per year and apply it towards a loan, and it's anybody's guess what's going to happen. And he allowed it. Why? It's very similar to the Sadei Achuza arrangement that which we find in the Torah, which entails a fellow who redeemed a field off of the Hegdish. Somebody donated an estate. A fellow comes along and redeems it. Right? Buys it off the Hegdish. And the halacha is, it's based on the Pesukim, a certain set amount per year. A selah plus a little more per year. Until, you know, based on how many years are left till Yovel, when he's going to have to give up the field back to Hekdesh. But bottom line is, we're setting a pretty set rate. We're establishing a set system. You give X amount per year, which gives you a right to access the field with all its chances of gain or risk. That's a fair deal. It's de'achuzah, right? This field, this estate. Lav afagav de'kachal perituva. Despite the fact that he may end up gaining a great deal of Paris. Still, what happens? How much does he have to lay out? Omer Achman, the Torah says, Koparakul Arba Zuzi. All he gives is 4 Zuzi, Masela. Hachanami Lishna here as well. As long as the Malva is willing to deduct a fair amount per year, that's okay. There's always a suffix. He might end up gaining it, might end up losing. That's fine. So that's why it would be okay. Omanda Asa. But the conflicting opinion, the other sheet held, no, you can't do this. There's still some sort of ribbis element if he ends up gaining. And you can't compare it to the ste'achuzah, you know why? Omelach, he tells you like this, ste'achuzah hegdeshi. Technically, that field belongs to Hegdesh. You're not lending, you're not borrowing, it's Hegdesh proper. And the Torah says, you know what? You want to take it from Hegdesh, you have to redeem it. V'rachmana and the Torah ukmei apidyon. Established a set rate. This is how much you pay to redeem the field. Okay, so this is what it is. You're not borrowing, you're not lending. But over here by the Mashkanta, it's part of a loan arrangement. Shimon borrowed from Reuben, and now he's giving him a right to his field. And he might end up gaining a lot. So although he's willing to deduct a token amount per year, you're running the risk of ribis if he ends up gaining on the deal. Hacha halvoi. It's part of a loan arrangement. Umirsek ribis and looks like ribis. Oh, okay, so we began with story of the relatives and stipulation to apply a buyback option to a field, and then that runs into issue of ribis because it's not truly a sale, but really it's a back ribis. And then we moved on to a case of mashkanta. The loy misalki is not an issue of ribis. Mashkanta the misalki can be an issue of ribis. Although only in Ribis Durabonim. The true way to approach the Mashkanta, the Misalki, would be either Nachyaisa, which deducts a set amount, which is a workable system according to some, or doing a Kitsusa system, which is even a lesser Ribis issue. And finally, we have Mashkanta de Sura, which is viewed as a perfect sale. Basically, it's yours until the term of the loan is up, and then I get it back. It's like selling it and then reselling it back, which is perfectly legal. We discussed the status of Mashkanta, Mashkanta the Misalki, the Lay Misalki vis-a-vis Abal Chayv, Bechor, and Shemitah. What happens when the Leiva claims to have money? At what point does the Mav have to vacate? We had a story regarding Amiroim. Some did or some and some didn't agree to go along with the Mashkanta system. All the best to you and Atzlacha Rabbah.